The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live Bible answer program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. If you have a question on the Bible or the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. That's 1-888-ASK-CSN. Now let's get things started. Here's today's host.
Aloha, everyone. Hey, this is Pastor Gerald Skinner filling in for Pastor Mike Kessler, who's your usual host on To Every Man an Answer. Great to be with you. Looking forward to another great day of great questions coming in from all the listeners across the nation and even the world, for that matter. And with me as special guests, we have Pastor David McGee of the Bridge Ministries, or Across the Bridge Ministries, found in Kernersville.
It's tricky.
Kernersville.
It is
North Carolina, near Winston-Salem, something like that.
Yes, sir.
And it's great to have you, David. David is a great worship leader as well as a great pastor. And he's with us today as we were together yesterday. We're looking forward to the program. David, how you doing?
I am blessed and highly flavored, brother. Highly flavored these days. And it, you know, Christians are really standing out. The gray areas are going away. You're either, you know, born again and following Jesus, but there's a lot of people using that term Christian that don't really mean it and haven't been born again. And we need to be aware of that here in America.
You know, absolutely. You know, as born again believers, we love the Lord. We love to share the Lord. I always look at that beautiful passage in Revelation chapter 3, talking about the Church of Philadelphia, Church of Brotherly Love. And it just says, you've kept my word, you've not denied my name, I'll keep you from the hour of trial that come upon the whole world. You know, true believers love the word of God. They love to grow in, from Genesis, growing the word from Genesis to Revelation. And then, of course, when it comes to Jesus, we're always proclaiming Jesus constantly. And how's things going in your fellowship right now, David, as with COVID and all these things? You guys are staying strong and healthy?
Yeah. We've had some families go through some struggles and yet that seems to be consistent over the years is, you know, going through struggles. And I think some people get the mistaken notion our faith gets us around struggles. No, it gets you through struggles, you know.
That's right.
And, you know, you mentioned, Philadelphia, which means brotherly love. And, William Penn, when he founded Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, he was actually doing what he called a holy experiment to act out, you know, living in brotherly love and community and government. That's how based, you know, how biblically based this government started. It's just a sad thing to see, you know, how far away from that it's come.
You know, and I agree with you 100%. We look at our founding fathers. I think it's about 52 of the 56 signers of our Declaration of Independence were born again Christians. Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to form a more perfect union. We're not a perfect union. Right. Trying to go through the events that were happening at their time, which, you know, they're battling the world also, trying to establish this great country we call the United States of America. Right. But they brought forth a wonderful check and balance through the Constitution, mm-hmm. the Declaration of Independence, our Bill of Rights, and all that we have. Right. And they've done their best to protect us. And now we, as men of God, women of God, Christians all together as one, conservatives, believe in the Constitution, we have to maintain what they've given us. As Ben Franklin said after that great Constitutional Convention, he said, "Madam, we've given you a republic, and hopefully you can keep it, right?" And mm-hmm. and we have to keep this republic. We have to keep this great nation. We have to keep the Bill of Rights. We have to be vigilant at this great work in our nation. And that's our nation. But more importantly than anything else, high priority is what? Soul winning, making disciples.
Amen.
You know, people can get die as a great constitutional American, but are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? And for liberals or conservatives, you know what? That we're all in the same boat. We're all sinners. We need to be saved by the grace of God, coming to Jesus Christ for salvation. You want to expand on that, David, just a little bit?
Yeah, you know, it comes, some people I understand are afraid, and some people are afraid of death. And yeah, I get it. I'm a pastor. I've, you know, held many hands through those times. But I'm not immune from those things, thinking about loved ones or close people or friends, you know, and yet we don't have to fear because, you know, we've not been given a spirit of fear. And Jesus himself, you know, went into death and turned it into a changing closet and popped out in 3 days. So we follow him. He knows about life and death. He knows about eternal life. And, you know, John chapter 3, verses 15, 16, 17, talk about he didn't, you know, he came to give life to those who believe in him. He didn't come to judge, not to condemn, but to give life. And we are the hands and feet that describe this to people that are around us. That many of them, it's like they've been inoculated against the gospel. They, because they visited a church once or twice a year, they think they know what the gospel is, which they would describe as something like, well, I hope my good outweighs my bad. Well, that's religion. That's not Christianity. Christianity is man's good. His best was not good enough. It was not perfect. And Jesus, the only perfect person to ever walk the face of the earth, died as a sinner, as a criminal, so that we could be forgiven. That's the good news, you know, not, you know, hip, hip, hooray, try harder and you'll get there. That's not really good news if you've been trying for 10 years, you know, but to realize, no, God gets it. He understands. And he has given us the Messiah. He went up that hill of Moriah and he finished, you know, what Abraham wasn't called to allow to finish. And,
It's an amazing thing. I know before I was a Christian, I got saved at the age of 21 and I was wild hair before that. But you know what? Someone presented it to me. I said, well, I'm a good person. I'm a good American. You know, I'm young. I'm just doing what all the young people are doing, right? And they said to me, but you're not holy. I go, what do you mean? Well, God is holy. And only the holiest can get to heaven. I go, who's holy? And he says, only Jesus. I said, well, then how do the rest of us get there? You got to have faith in Jesus Christ. And ask him to be your Savior. Admit that you're a sinner. Let him come into your heart and save your soul. Would you like to pray right now? And I said that sinner's prayer on the April 4th, 1979. That's when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And you know what most people don't understand is there's a very supernatural event that takes place. As you are sincere with God, you're sincere with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he comes into your heart, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden your appetite, your habitual appetite for sin is now extinguished. Doesn't mean you don't sin, but that habitual appetite where you can't control yourself. Now the Spirit of God has come in you, and all of a sudden you start developing a distaste for sinful practices and habits. And there's this overwhelming conviction when you do engage in those sinful habits. Mm-hmm. And that's throughout our lifetime. It's a constant process. The theologically called sanctification, but it's the process of being changed by our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love the scripture in Philippians that he will complete the work until that great glorious day where we go to heaven. And this is, folks, this is the free gift of salvation. If you're listening out there, you don't know Christ, we'd love to share with you that sinner's prayer, lead you to the Savior, the Son of God, God incarnate, who died for your sins on that cross. We love you deeply and tremendously. And wants to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, wants to have a relationship with Creator God. And we encourage you right now to engage. Give us a call. Mm-hmm. If you want to call and have any questions that you are out there, you're contemplating, any questions about God, about life, about the Bible, about teachers, doctrine, whatever it might be, counseling, you're going through a tough time, give us a call at 1-888-ASK-CSN. That's 1-888-ASK-CSN, A-S-K-C-S-N, for those answers to your questions. Hopefully we'll have answers, right, David? We'll look forward to that. Hey, let's go to the phones right now. Let's talk to Ben from Treasure County, Montana. Hey, Ben, are you there? Ben? Hello, Ben. We have no Ben. Okay, I guess we're not going to be talking to Ben right now. So we'll work on, should we go to another one, guys? Should we go to, how about Hal in, John in Oregon. John in Oregon, are you there? Looks like we have some technical difficulties. You still there, David? Are you still here with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
Are you supposed to, Are you supposed to click on a name or something with your?
I think that's back at the main studios there in Idaho. Have we got Ben out there, guys?
Yes. Hello.
Hey, Ben. Is it you?
Yes, Ben? It's me.
God bless you, my friend. What do you got for us today?
Yes. First of all, I'd like to thank you for taking my call, and thankful that Pastor McGee is there. Wanted to let him know that he's my.
Excellent. Hold on, Ben. Is Ben still there? Looks like we're having some technical difficulties. David, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Hey, you know,
Go ahead, David.
While they work on Ben. Digging into the word mask in the Hebrew was something interesting. It's the word masika, which is translated as mask, screen, or molten idol. And I thought that was a very fascinating word study, and just wanted to throw that out there, that masika is the word mask. And in modern Hebrew will say, well, that's just mask or screen. But if you go to the biblical, yeah, it's mask, screen, or molten idol. Masika, used for mask, is literally, when they say don't do this with idols, is literally the Hebrew word masika there. It's kind of interesting.
That is.
That's very. Is that Ben?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right, Ben. Hey, we're back. We had a little technical problem there for everyone listening out there, so let's hopefully we've got it fixed. Let's go to you, Ben. What do you got for us today?
Okay, I just had a question about you guys' opinion on the now I kind of forgot. Doggone it. Just completely went away.
Ben, thank you for your encouragement. We heard the beginning of what you said. Pastor McGee is with us, and you started to say you had been encouraged through CSN, through Across the Bridge, and then of course, you know, going back on and off, it might have thrown you off a little bit. So
I
got it now.
There you go.
Yes, it was on. It was actually on Melchizedek, and I wondered what your guys' take was on him.
David, you want to tackle it?
Boy, that's a great one. That's a great question. Do I want to speak on the next hour on Melchizedek? You betcha.
Come on, we have to keep it tight.
You know, here's the amazing thing, Ben, is that many times in the Hebrew scriptures, in the what we call the Old Testament, there are what we call angel of the Lord is the English term, which are actually Christophanies or appearances of Jesus in the flesh, like Joshua. When he, you know, goes at Jericho to walk around the walls, you know, he says, who are you with? And the guy says, well, I'm not, you know, for you against you. I'm the captain of the army of the Lord. And Joshua worships him and he receives it. And so it's interesting to note, you know, what does Abraham do with Melchizedek? He gives him the tithes. I mean, that is very, very significant. And so I do think we're dealing with a Christophany. You know, was it a literal physical appearance of Jesus? Well, I think that's where we get in the splitting hairs, and the Bible's not real clear on that. But I do think that was the angel of the Lord or a Christophany there with Melchizedek and Abraham, and there again with Joshua, and in many other places in the Old Testament. That's a great question, Ben.
You know, as we look to the book of Hebrews, gives us a little bit of commentary. Some, it's been said, the best commentary in the Bible is the Bible itself.
Amen.
And so we find Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 says, this Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, his name means king of righteousness. Then also king of Salem means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, like the Son of God, he remained a priest forever. So very likely a Christophany, as this one, Melchizedek, visits with Abraham, who's known as the father of faith. And we find that, you know, Jesus is our Prince of Peace, yes, and he is the righteous one. And he is born of a virgin, yes. And so it's very likely we have a Christophany of Christ in Melchizedek. Now, others will argue that, no, it's just he was an individual and so forth. And that's fine. Either way, it is something that is very typological of Christ, of his coming and who he would be in regards to a priest, not of the Levitical priesthood, but of the priesthood according to Melchizedek, without beginning, without end, forever and ever, the Alpha and the Omega, is our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's very exciting that way. So, Ben, are we helping you out with that question?
Yeah, that's a pretty good answer. That's what I've always thought about, but it doesn't seem like from the book of Hebrews that it would be, that it would be, a pre-incarnate Christ appearance to me. You know, because they say he's a type of Melchizedek.
And that could be, you know, but it's interesting. How does the Melchizedek not have father or mother? It's a fascinating statement. So we see here is Christ. With being the virgin birth and so forth. So it's interesting, but I think the main thing that we look at here in regards to this is who Melchizedek represents, what Abraham did as he came and brought a tithe to him and so forth. So who do we bring a tithe to? We bring a tithe to God, yes, to the Lord, to worship him in our offerings and so forth. So I see you connect the dots here. And again, it's been argued back and forth, you know, is it an actual individual and so forth, or was it a Christophany? And we know that the Lord Jesus, when we say King of Salem, King of Peace, it's pointing towards Jerusalem, speaking of dual peace with God. And so it's
having neither begin. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead, David.
Well, just having, you know, neither beginning or ending, to me, that would highly suggest a Christophany, not that there wasn't one. Yeah, I mean, digging in this, we're not gonna be able to prove one side or the other, but I think we can safely say it was a Christophany. And then, you know, how far does that go? Does that mean it's actually Jesus in the flesh, or is he, appearing somehow else? It doesn't really say. So we get off to where the scripture is not clear, but it's clear that it's a Christophany. And the interesting little note, guys, you mentioned Winston-Salem, which is right beside us. Winston, it used to be two cities, Winston and Salem. Salem was settled by the Moravians from Count Zinzendorf in Europe. And they used to get in all kinds of trouble because throughout slavery in the South, they would teach and help people to read and share the gospel with them. So it's a great little tie-in with this. The King of Salem spurred all those memories. And sometimes we forget the American history being so Christian. And anytime we can underscore that, we really need to.
Yeah, so absolutely.
That question triggered that.
Hey, God bless you, my friend. And if you stay on the line, we're going to send you Pastor Mike's book, Time to Grow, along with Evolution versus God, and also the video, God of Wonders. You can share with family, with friends, and I know they'll all be blessed. And also share with non-believers. That'd be excellent. Let's go to the lines with April. And once again, if you want to give us a call at 1-888-ASK-CSN. We have some lines open, 1-888-ASK-CSN. Love to hear from you. We have April on the line from Oregon. April, how you doing?
Good.
Wonderful.
So glad to finally be on here.
How can we help you out?
My question is regarding to the Trinity. I have Mormon and Jehovah's Witness friends. And the one thing I often get confronted about is, why did Christ call out to his Father if he is in fact God? And I believe he's God, but how do I explain that to them when they believe he was a separate, like he was a son and not the Father?
David, you'd like to give an answer to this one, please?
Yeah, there's a few tie-ins, April, that we can use to describe the Trinity. That's a great question. And mankind's been struggling with that for eons. St. Patrick's Day uses the clover as a symbol of the Trinity. He used that to help them understand the notion of three gods in one. walk in, you know, in unity. It's kind of hard for us to understand that other than, you know, like water has three forms. It has a solid, a liquid, and can be a gas, a steam. So, you know, God appears in three different forms, and yet there's a unity that we can't even begin to understand, I don't think, with our human minds. But a great picture of it is at the baptism. And Jesus gave us that picture of him being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the voice of the Father speaking. So you plainly have three in one. They're all unified in what they're doing and the mission they're on. And yet that's three different expressions of God himself. That's one of the best biblical answers we can give, probably.
And just to add a little bit more to that, as David explained it so well, I always give the example of God, G-O-D. If you drop the letter G, you have something rather odd. If you drop the letter D, you got go. And if you drop the letter D, and if you drop the letter O, you have DD. It doesn't make any sense. So to have the Trinity, you must have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit if you're going to talk about God himself. Jesus said, go ye therefore and baptize with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why not just say one? You know, no, he's declaring the Trinity. In the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, we have, let us make man in our image. And the Lord has spoken there, and the word is Elohim. El is singular, Elo is dual, Elohim is plural. Not plural gods, but rather plural in that personhood of who God is, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. David described the baptism, as well as we describe when we baptize people, we see the Trinity. Also in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, we have the hero Israel, the Lord our God, is one. And that word one is in the Hebrew, echad, E-C-H-A-D, and it speaks of a compound unity. And thus we see the three in one. The other interesting thing is, if they would just do more study, when you study the attributes of God, the Father, he is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and immutable. So is Jesus when you study the life of Christ. He's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, he's omnipresent, he's all, in all places at all times, he knows all things, and he's unchangeable, immutable. And the same when you study the Holy Spirit. And thus you see all three involved in the work of salvation, the work in the believer's heart and life. What you do see is that the mission, the Son to the Father, the Holy Spirit to the Son, he testifies of the Son, and us, we're in submission to the Holy Spirit, which we're in submission to the Son, of which we glorify the Father. And so the Trinity is there. It's all through the scriptures. As we look to the scriptures, as Paul, Jesus receives worship. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Only God is allowed to receive worship. And we see the Father receives worship, the Holy Spirit, and so forth. So angels will never receive worship like the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons. Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus is the Archangel Michael. Or the Mormons would say that Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer. Well, Lucifer, we know, is a fallen angel. If you say he's the spirit brother of Lucifer, that means Jesus is a fallen angel. Yet Jesus received worship, and no angel ever received worship. And he's not the Archangel Michael, according to Jehovah's Witnesses. We know that because Jesus won't receive worship. So these are many of the facets that we share with those that are held in the cults by those who've written their books, or auxiliary books, if you will, to share with them. There's also a great video out you might want to pick up. It could be on YouTube. You could view it all for free and so forth. It is the Bible version of the Book of Mormon. And it shows you all the discrepancies from the Book of Mormon as compared to the Bible. You got to make a choice. Either the Book of Mormon, and you're going to follow that and reject the Bible, or you're going to follow the Bible and reject the Book of Mormon, which is what we do.
Amen.
So that's a great video to take a look at. So hopefully that helps you out, my dear. What, anything else?
I think that.
Are we loser? Okay.
On how to respond to that, because it stumps me a lot of the time.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Sorry, I was just, I don't know if my phone's in a bad spot. No, thank you. That helps me a lot. I get stumped on that question a lot, so it's nice to have some clarity, and I'll definitely check out that book.
It's a video. You'll realize that very, very well. It's called the Bible versus the Book of Mormon.
And also realize, April, that you're walking into a spiritual battle there. And Ephesians 6 tells us we're not battling with flesh and blood. And that's hard to it's hard to remember that sometimes when there's a person sitting in front of you babbling their doctrine. You can begin to feel like, well, no, I am fighting flesh and blood. Well, no, you're battling, fallen spirits and the enemy himself over flesh and blood, because you're trying to win that person to the real good news, the gospel. So that's the battle that's going on. And God bless you for wanting to share with them. I know how tenuous it can be. So be sure you're prayed up. And if you can get other people praying for you, that's awesome. Also, we actually have a website. If you want to go and put their names on there, it's totally free. It's lostloved ones.org. And you just go on there and put their first names, and we don't hammer you with a bunch of weird stuff. That gives us access. We have hundreds of people on that prayer team praying for lost loved ones. And while you're there, you can also join the team, which means you'll be getting text of other people, their first names, who are lost, and somebody's wanting to share the gospel with them, and, praying together for each other as we share these important truths to see people unblinded is an important part of it.
Amen. And one last thing I would suggest, if you go on the internet, you can pull down the scriptures on the Trinity. Just plug in the Trinity on the internet, and there's a host of websites that have the scriptures all listed that speak of the Trinity. Now they have to argue with the Bible instead of just you. These are all the scriptures that unveil the Trinity, as well as there's ex-Mormons for Christ. You go to that website, and I think it's called Four Witnesses. Speaking of Jehovah's Witnesses, you go to them. They're ex-Witnesses, Jehovah's Witnesses, and you can drop them that material there, maybe share with your family or friends, and let them know.
Oneness Pentecostals. Oneness Pentecostals as well.
Absolutely. It's time for a break right now. We'll be right back after this break.
Hi, friends. Pastor Chapin from Calvary Chapel University with a question for you. Has God been calling or prompting you to complete or perhaps start your college degree? At Calvary Chapel University, we're celebrating our new accreditation by offering you a 50% tuition scholarship off your very first class and 25% scholarship off the balance of your Calvary Chapel University degree. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com and apply today to get your 50% tuition scholarship off the first class you take at CCU and 25% scholarship off the balance of your degree. That's CalvaryChapelUniversity.com. Calvary Chapel University is fully accredited, 100% online, and 90% of our students graduate debt-free in Jesus' name. Go to CalvaryChapelUniversity.com and apply today to get your 50% tuition scholarship off your first class, 25% scholarship off the balance of your degree. That's CalvaryChapelUniversity.com.
CSN, the Christian Satellite Network, is broadcast on hundreds of stations nationwide. With stations in 45 of our 50 states, we're never far from where you are. Get a full station list or listen anywhere in the world 24/7 at csnradio.com. You can be a part of CSN by spreading the word. Join us on Facebook and tune in every day for the best Bible-based teaching and modern praise and worship music. CSN International, where God's word is heard.
CSN International. Inspired worship from the hearts of believers. This is CSN International.
Radio broadcast. I'm on the air with special guest and friend with Pastor David McGee of the Cross and Bridge Ministries in Kernersville, North Carolina. I don't know why I'm in trouble with this, David.
It's multisyllabic. Go there.
We're getting it out. Anyway, it's great to be on with David. We're having a great time with some great calls coming in, with some great questions. We're trying to take it as many as we can. We have some open lines right now. Give us a call. 1-888-ASK-CSM, whatever your question might be about life, about God, about the Word, about the Bible, about what you hear in the pulpit, what you hear on the radio, what you hear on TV, whatever it might be. Give us a call. We're here to help you out, grow in the Lord, develop your faith in Christ, and be used of God. So very exciting. And give us a call. 1-888-ASK-CSM. Let's go to Liz from Florence, Arizona. Liz, how can we help you out?
Hi, I have a question. It's in regards to in Leviticus chapter 11.
All righty, hold on there. Give us a go. What do you got?
Hello?
Yes, yeah. Go right in.
Yeah. Hi, yes, it's in regards to Leviticus chapter 11. I was reading last night, and I got kind of like stumped because I was trying to read like the falls of the air, you know, the animals in the ocean and the sea, and I enjoy shrimp, lobster, and crab, and I was wondering, does that have anything to like, you know, what we're supposed to eat, what we're not supposed to eat, what's clean and what's unclean? Can you clarify a few of those items? I know that we, you know, the like the falls of the air, which are the owls and, you know, the hawks, and, you know, that's very self-explanatory to me. However, I'm not sure about like they say escargot, you know, that I don't know about that either, but that we can eat beetles and locusts, because I know that back in the days, our prophets used to eat, you know, locusts, our apostles, you know, used to eat locusts. So can you help me out?
David, do you like to help her out with a good diet?
Yeah. And you know, what's really interesting, and it does, Leviticus talks about which animals are clean and unclean. But here's the thing, Liz, and it's a neat encouragement. How did Noah know if we're just getting these from God and through Moses? Because it said Noah took two animals that were unclean and then seven if they were clean. And this was before this was all laid out. Well, God led Noah by the Spirit to choose what was clean and unclean, just as sure as he led Moses to list these, and just as sure as the Lord will lead you in this. You know, there's different feelings. Now, let me first say, spiritually, we've been set free from you can eat this and you can't eat that. But remember, you know, we're also the temple of the Holy Spirit. And some of the things you mentioned, the taste good stuff, you know, the shrimp, the lobsters, the crab meat and stuff like that. You know, those are, I mean, if you talk to a fisherman, he'll tell you those are bottom feeders. They eat whatever's on the bottom, and we won't go there. But, you know, fish swim and they have scales like this laid out. It's interesting. We're concerned about mercury and tuna. Tuna doesn't have scales. So if, you know, if you're trying to adhere this, you know, you might actually find that perhaps some physical maladies or problems you're having, that you might feel better in your joints or different things like that. A lot of people have reported it going to a cleaner diet and experiencing the benefit of health. And so while we don't have to spiritually, I think there's still some benefits health-wise. And of course, pork, pig, that's a big one. Bacon smells so good. But yet, you know, it's really not good for you. There's a lot of stuff that makes it much worse than, say, beef or chicken or those things. So it's up to you. But, I mean, there is some health benefits. How do you want to, brother, handle it?
I think also, you know, right now the Bible teaches us in the New Testament Christian, you know, as you pray over these different foods, God is, you know, it's fine. You can partake of it and enjoy it and so forth. this dietary plan for the Jewish was for the Jewish people, to make them a separated people, to keep them a very healthy people. And as David shared, some of the foods that we eat today, whether it be pork or others, it's not the best for us, right? I noticed in the list is a gecko. We have a lot of geckos here in Hawaii. I'm not planning on munching on any geckos. You know, they're an ugly thing.
Bad idea, right?
Yeah. And others. But, you know, for the shrimp and for the crab and for those things, we do have ways that we've been able to hopefully clean them up fairly well. Some people have an allergic reaction to some of these foods.
Oysters.
For others of us, you know, it's no problem. But it's one is, you know, make sure you got a good source. Whatever company is producing these things, it's a good source company, and you're fine to go. I like going to Costco and I see that big old plate of shrimp, you know, with the sauce there, and then just, I got to have that, you know, with my steak tonight or whatever you're going to eat, and have a great old time. So, and then you do, not everybody's smoking, right? They're smoking all the meats and all these things. And you get the smoked pork and different things that are going on, and it's delicious, you know. But it's really up to individual choice these days. What's best for your health at this time in your life? Does that help you out, my dear?
Yes, it does. I just didn't want to feel guilty when I'm eating all this shrimp and lobster and crab that my daughter makes, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I read it in the Bible last night, like. Okay, what has fins? What doesn't have fins? What has scales? What doesn't have scales? So my mind wasn't really like trying to grasp it all, I guess, at 1 o'clock in the morning, but I don't know why. You know, I just.
God will bless that soft heart of obedience. God will bless that soft heart of obedience, Liz. That's a nice story. But be set free.
Right on. Well, Liz, God bless you. Thank you for the call. And thank you. Now you've made me hungry. It's about 12:30 here in Hawaii. I'm ready for lunch. So I'm already going to eat. But anyway, hey, if you've got a question for us, give us a call at 1-888-ASK-CSN. That's ASK-CSN. To every man an answer right now. And we'd love to hear from you. David, as we're looking to the last days of what's happening in our world, we've got the evacuation in Afghanistan. We see Turkey involved in this, along with Pakistan and the other, I think Qatar and others. And we've seen this disastrous evacuation take place, and now we've got so many people left over there in Afghanistan. And yet, you know, nothing's been done about this terroristic threat through the Taliban, through Iran, through these others, ISIS, and then you have Hamas and Hezbollah. And well, all these things. How do you view the last days right now?
Well, it's worse than that. We have a government who has decided through an FBI report that the real threat is not China, not Russia, not Afghanistan, not the Taliban, but domestic terrorists, specifically those who would adhere to white supremacy. That was a big FBI report. Nancy Pelosi said, this is where our threat is. This is where we're going. How do you get it so wrong? I don't know. You know, there's so many other threats. I guess maybe they mean themselves from January 6th. That was a threat to them personally or something. I don't think those people were a threat to government maintaining operations. So, you know, these are times when we got to stay focused on Jesus. Because there's so many distractions. And the thing that Jesus said when they were asking him about these things is don't be deceived over and over. And how are we not deceived? Well, we're in the Word. Stay in the Word every day and listen to, you know, ministry, really CSN radio is a ministry filled with Bible teaching. And man, what a blessing to have in these, the last of our days, you know, it's such a blessing. So listen to CSN, be in the Word, and you won't be deceived. All right. So in the last days, again, what we need to be doing is focus on Jesus. We're experiencing some technical things. We're going to get them straightened out in just a moment. You know, a lot of the questions, it seems like, are not necessarily in the Bible. That's why I've loved the questions this week. They've been about the Bible. They've been about Scripture. And because Scripture is so important. Remember, the Bible says we don't walk by our feelings. We walk by faith. And so our feelings will change. Circumstances will change. But God does not change. And he has offered us the solution to these hard times in his word. How do we, you know, break free from sin? How do we break free from fear, from loneliness, from fear of a government that doesn't seem to be responding to concerns we have? These are those days, as it's been well spoken, that try people's souls. And so we turn to Jesus. And what does Jesus do? Jesus forgives souls. He restores souls. In the book of Acts, it talks about him. His name refreshes souls as we turn to him and turn away from sin. That's both an instant in time when we're born again, but also a lifetime spent turning away from sin. Every morning when you wake up, you know, I wake up and myself wants to take the throne and, you know, do what it wants to do. And I say, no, my life belongs to God. He purchased it years ago, not just in gold or silver, but as in his own blood. And even though I was a really broken man who had done really bad things, he forgave me. I thought he was going to say no when I asked him to forgive me, but he forgave me. And praise God. That's what's so awesome about the Bible saying, whoever believes in the Lord Jesus shall not perish, but have an everlasting life. Man, what an amazing promise. You know, John 3:16, which we're so familiar with, and yet we forget what it says in John 3:17, where it says, God didn't send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him they might be saved. So, friend, I wonder today, do you know Jesus? Do you know you've been forgiven? Not because you've been basically a good person, but because you ask God to forgive you. You've been born again. According to John 3:3, Jesus said, you must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus, a spiritual man, didn't understand. He said, do I have to be literally birthed again? And Jesus was like, you're a spiritual leader and you don't get it. And that's right where we get John 3:16. So remember that whoever believes in the Lord Jesus does not have to perish, but you can have eternal life. What an amazing offer. The offer still stands.
David, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, all right. We had a glitch over on my end. Somebody cut the cable from Hawaii to the mainland. I don't know what happened. But we're back. I'm back on with you. And
yeah, I would just people don't. You're in Hawaii. You said it was noon. I'm at 6 p.m. It's amazing technology, right?
You're having dinner. I'm going to have lunch. So anyway, but we had a glitch. I went off the air for a moment. And when I came back on, you're sharing faith in Christ and being saved and being born again. And I'm like, go for it, man. Go for it. I love this. It is very cool. Very cool. Are we done with that last caller? You think we're okay? I don't know who it was, but
yes, Liz in Florida. Absolutely.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Or Arizona. I'm sorry. Arizona.
Oh, Arizona. Okay. Shall we go to, Jorma in Austin, Texas? Let's go for it. I don't know if I'm pronouncing your name right. Jorma.
Yes, you're pronouncing it right. That is correct.
Okay, very good. What can we do for you?
Well, I was just wanting to get some spiritual advice, and I have met this gentleman. We've been talking now for a little over a month, and we both really like each other. We have grown to be very close to each other, and he's a Christian. I'm a Christian. And recently he said it was really fast how we grown close to one another through prayer. And but he says we need to slow down through God because he is he's feeling like he rushed himself, but he wants to just slow down.
Well, I would say that's probably some good advice. It takes a little bit of time to understand and know people's character, background, and their interests, their likes, their dislikes, as well as you both love Jesus, which is the most important thing. And then you need to just continue to let that relationship unfold. Find out the character. I always share with singles and whether old or young, doesn't matter. Find out the character of the individual. Get some background about them. Find out what they're all about. And it usually takes a little bit of time to come out, and especially as you've met somebody. I don't know if this is via the internet or you're meeting each other at church, whatever it is. Just let it unfold and take its time and find out that they got the fruit of the Spirit going on. And as God leads and he places each other on each other's hearts, meaning you're going to take it to a next step, which could be an engagement, then to marriage. But give it time, because time will unveil the true character. David, why don't you give some advice here?
Yeah, you know, it's so important that you're both actually speaking the same language and saying, are you a Christian? Some people say, oh, yes. You know, I was born an American. Oh, yes. I've visited a church before. So sometimes people can use that word Christian in not a completely appropriate way. And so making sure they're born again, and Pastor mentioned fruit. Look for fruit in their lives as evidence that they are Christian. I don't think it's beyond the pale if you're considering a future with this man to say, hey, how do you give to the church? What do you do? How do you handle that? Put him on the spot, because a man is not going to be responsible with his finances, isn't going to be responsible for yours either. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, if a guy's giving and sacrificially on a regular basis to the Lord, man, you might have just met a very good potential husband. And you mentioned church too. That's the best place really to meet somebody for marriage. And don't get, you said a month, but part of what you're trying to do is make sure each other are really, fit for each other as Christians. Because marriage is hard enough when you're both Christians. So you want to make sure of that. But let me encourage you with this. Adam was sleeping when God, had Eve appear. So be at rest. And church is a great place because you can see somebody's fruit. But if you met online, a month's pretty quick. And talking about finances might be a good key.
Yeah. Another thing is you always want to make sure that the individual is able to keep a job. And also, if you're able to meet some other people around family, the individual, yeah. Family, how's he treat his family and friends, and you kind of just ask their opinions of so-and-so, and they might have more information about the individual as compared to what you've been given. And I think, it's like it is a background check is what we're talking about when it comes to individuals. We do it for business. My goodness, we need to do it for marriage, right? We need to get a background check from family, from friends, from people in the fellowship, of course. And that takes some time to discover, because you don't want to, this is a lifetime endeavor, and you don't want to make a mistake. You do the research. We get excited in the beginning and our, we get the flutters going on, and then we got to get down to brass tacks and find out, okay, is this legit? Is everything good? And I can only share that from pastoral, I'm sure David too, from pastoral counseling. As we've counseled people in the Lord and discovery that this individual is kind of hoodwinked that individual, they end up getting married. Now we got a disaster in our hands. Yeah. And, then you've discovered that the one that was innocent victim, they didn't do ask the hard questions, do the research. And they just kind of stayed in that fluttery area. And we may not know the individual as they come across our counseling page. We try to ask those questions and find out more about them. But ultimately, we may be with them for a premarital counseling for 1 hour a week for 6 weeks or something like that. Everybody has their different courses. We do 6 weeks here.
Premarital
counseling. And it's like, that's all we got 6 hours with this person. We try to ask the hard questions, but they can sure, the deceiver can sure deceive. So just be cautious, take your time, and if it's of the Lord, it'll all work out. Okay? Does that help you out, Jorma?
Yes, that does help me out. It helps me out a lot.
Oh, praise the Lord.
That premarital is a have to. Have to.
Yeah, you got a premarital counseling. There's no doubt about it. We got to go through a process of discovery and counseling get married in the right way according to the Word of God. So if you stay on the line, Jorma, we're going to send you A Time to Grow by Pastor Mike Kessler and Evolution versus God video, as well as God of Wonders video. So hopefully you'll enjoy and you can share with family and friends and let the Lord do the work, okay? Hey, let's go to Patrick at Mount Vernon, Washington. Patrick, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing all right. Yourself?
Doing great. Thank you. How can we help?
So I was listening to, speaking of McGee, J. Vernon McGee. I was listening to the the Through the Bible, downloaded the MP3, and I had never heard the Genesis, his start of it. And I've been a young earther since, I don't know, probably 2008 when I think I saw the Truth Project and they found blood cells in the T-Rex or whatever. But then his approach to it was the two different words in Hebrew for creation, ababosa or something. I can't remember what they were. But I was curious where you guys stood on young earth versus old earth. Does it really matter? As he put it, the Bible is all about redemption, not a scientific treaty on how the history of the world. There we go. So,
David,
that's my question.
Yeah, Patrick, that's a great question. There can be a tendency for Christians to try to incorporate evolution into the story. And I'm not saying that Dr. McGee did that. I'm related to him. Even if I got to go back to Noah and Adam, I am related to him. that's great stuff. And, the reality is we're not positive. Having learned so much about the Hebrew in the last 30, 40 years, even, it does seem like literal days. It actually counts the days. They're literally numbered, the way it says number your days. There was only one day with a name in the beginning. That was the Shabbat. It was day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, and Shabbat. So, when we begin to look at those things, we need to, again, go to the Bible. But I'm a young earther as well. But if I'm witnessing to somebody and that comes up, I will avoid it, honestly, because the main thing is, do they know Jesus? Have they met him yet? And you don't want to win the argument and lose the soul, which I've done beautifully one time, and that was enough for me. I won the argument, and the guy walked off, and I had a mature brother going, "Hey, dude, you just messed up," which was a great, painful learning experience as a young Christian. But I think it's safe to take either position as a Christian, although I am in the younger earth camp, and when you go to the Hebrews, you discover even more reasons to take that literal approach.
Jesus said, in the beginning, God made them male and female. So we know that the beginning is the creation of Adam and Eve. Either Jesus is a liar, or he just is not smart enough to figure this out, or the beginning is when God made them male and female on that sixth day. And so what we discover also, God was very detailed in giving us the amount of years that each person lived, because he knew in the last days there would be this false idea of evolution, the fairy tale, I call it, of evolution. And yes, I am a young earther, and I will proclaim the young earth biblical evidence, I should say. I believe there's scientific evidence also.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus shares with the church of Laodicea. He says that he is which is the false church. He says, I'm the beginning and the end. I'm of all creation, he mm-hmm. declares, because he knows that's going to be a lie in the last days. So, I don't know what McGee said at that time, J. Vernon McGee, that is. we'll have to go back and listen to exactly and see what he says. Hey, it's been a great program, David. Even though we had a few glitches, we made it through. And God bless you, David. God bless all the listeners out there. It's great to be with you. Give us a call tomorrow to Every Man and Answer. God bless you.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.